Awesome. Well, I am so glad you guys are here with us today. I have a story I want to share with you guys. There is a man who went overboard on a ship. He went overboard on a ship and he was in the water. And he luckily was able to find a small piece of land to climb on. Okay, so this man, he was a man of faith. He was a man of prayer. And he was stuck in the middle of the water on this little piece of land. And then some time went by when a woman in a rowboat came to the man in the middle of the water on this little piece of land. And she says to the man, sir, hop in my rowboat and I will row us to safety. Now the man who was stuck in the middle of the water on the little piece of land, who was a man full of faith, says to the lady in the rowboat, ma'am, thank you for the offer, but God will save me. And the lady in the rowboat insisted, come into my rowboat and I will row us both to safety. And with great faith, he declares, God will save me. The lady in the rowboat hesitantly goes away because he didn't want to hop in. And some time later has gone by, a couple of days actually, and this man who is full of faith begins to get hungry and thirsty, and the heat from being in the middle of the water on his little piece of land is getting to him, when suddenly out of nowhere, a man in a speedboat comes up to the man in the middle of the water on his little piece of land. And the man in the speedboat says, sir, I have water, I have drink. Hop in my speedboat and I will bring you to safety. Now, the man who was in the middle of the water on his little piece of land with great faith says to the man in the speedboat, No, I'm sorry, I can't take your offer. God will save me. Now, the man in the speedboat says, well, maybe, but come into my speedboat and I will bring you to safety. But again, the man in the middle of the water on a little piece of land refuses the offer and says with great, great faith, God will save me. Now, some more time goes by. And this man in the middle of the water on his little piece of land is still in the middle of the water on this little piece of land. And a helicopter comes out of nowhere and drops a ladder down, and a rescue ranger comes down to the island and looks at the man who's in the middle of the water on his little piece of land and says, sir, grab my hand and I will pull you on my helicopter and I will directly take you to a hospital. And the man who is now beaten and battered by the conditions he's been in says, No, God will save me. God will save me. And then the ranger on the helicopter says, sir, please take my hand and I will bring you to safety. And with great faith, the man who is stuck in the middle of the water on a little piece of land says, no, God will save me. So the helicopter leaves, and then some time goes by, and the man who is stuck in the middle of the water on a little piece of land dies. Now he enters heaven and he walks up to God in heaven, falls at his knees and says, God, I was a man of faith. I was a man who trusted you. Why didn't you save me when I was in the middle of the water, stuck on a little piece of land? Then God bends down and gently says to him, I did. I sent a rowboat, a speedboat, and a helicopter. You just denied them all. Today, we start a new series called Take Advantage, where we're going to learn how to take advantage of the things God has given us in our lives. Much like this man in the water, a lot of us, we don't take advantage of the life God has given us. Now, with this fun two-part series, it was actually birthed out of our Tuesday night small group this past week, our men's group that meets every Tuesday at the Forest Hill Starbucks. Little plug, it's awesome. And our conversation led us to this verse in the book of Ephesians that sparked this idea in my heart that we don't want to be like this man on the island, not seeing the advantage God has given us. Check this out. This is the word of the Lord today in Ephesians 5:15. I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. It says this, so be very careful how you live. Now, the Apostle Paul, who's writing this, he isn't saying be fearful. He's not saying be timid. He's saying be aware. Be aware how you live. And I believe, here you go, I believe most people make decisions today for their tomorrows based on yesterday's undealt with traumas. I believe most people make decisions today for their tomorrows based on undealt with traumas, and they don't even recognize they're doing it. They don't even recognize it. The overprotective parent is overprotective because they grew up in an environment where they felt like they had no protection. The nagging spouse is insecure because they don't want to be rejected again. The workaholic is living in shame, shadow of perfectionism because it was either consciously or subconsciously spoken by their parents that you must always be perfect. And they have no clue. Paul says, be careful, be cautious, be aware how you live. And he continues, he says, not being like those with no understanding, but live honorably with true wisdom, for we are living in evil times. Now, this isn't a jab at CNN or Fox News. Most of you people think that is Satan. This isn't a jab at the right or the left or whatever, but there is a real enemy who Jesus says his mission is to steal, kill, and destroy. There is a real enemy that loves to deceive and says to you, oh, you'll never get caught. You can do that one thing. No one will know. Oh, just have one more. It's okay. There's an enemy who loves to deceive. And then once you do the thing that the enemy has deceived you to do, there's an enemy that loves to accuse and says, oh, I can't believe you did that. Oh, I can't believe you acted that way. You are this. See, the enemy loves to accuse and speak directly into our identity. And says, you will always, you will never. This is the kind of person you will be. Where Jesus offers his life and life to the fullest. And he says, no, that's not who you are. That was a mistake. Don't get me preaching. Here you go. Here you go. I'm just saying, I'm going to throw it out here. Maybe the thing you keep dealing with, the thing that you wish you weren't dealing with, maybe you keep dealing with that thing because there's an enemy who doesn't want you to find freedom. And maybe there's a real enemy that will make you hide in the shadows of shame before you confess to find healing in the light. Check this out. It continues. Paul continues. He says, now take full advantage of every day. Come on. That sounds good to me. Take full advantage of every day. But that sounds good, but I don't know about you, but sometimes at the end of my day, all I want to do is get a nice glass of wine, sip on that thing, and watch a show. Now, there ain't nothing wrong with getting a nice glass of wine and watching a show. But we aren't designed to just survive in life. God has designed you to thrive in life. Now, and I mean God wants you to thrive in your normal, everyday routines. I'm not talking about you got to climb a mountain every day, but I'm talking about the way you deal with your kids, the way you deal with your spouse, the way you live at work, the way you do your everyday's comings and goings. You can live in a place of thriving, not just surviving. This is a promise that Jesus offers us. See, Paul says, take full advantage of every day as you spend your life for his purposes. Notice how text says that you spend your life for his purposes. I think that we can even exchange that word spin to a word like invest, to use a business term, because good investments always bring a good return. And when you invest your life into God's kingdom, it will bring a good return. It will bring a good return for your life. It will bring a good return for your family. And it will definitely bring a good return for the future generation that is going to stand on your shoulders. It will bring a good return. Investing your life into God's kingdom. Now, this man in the story did not take advantage of the power of prayer. He said, God will save me. And God's like, yeah, try to. He prayed for God to save him. And when God did send help, he didn't recognize it. Now, this story is kind of funny and sad at the same time. But truthfully, though, we're being truthful today. When it comes to prayer, I think a lot of us don't know what to expect from prayer. Like, what is prayer? How does God send us help in our everyday lives? So this week and next week, I want to give us some practical spiritual practices that we can do as we learn how to become Jesus followers in our everyday lives and take advantage of what God has given us, okay? So the question I want to ask us today is this. How is an everyday person like you and me, how are we supposed to pray? How are we supposed to pray? How am I supposed to pray? What should I pray? When should I pray? What do prayers even do? Do I have to be a monk to pray? No, you don't. Prayer is such a mystery. And maybe for you, you grew up in a home where you had real questions. You had real questions about faith. You had doubts and fears. And the response that you got from the people who should have been answering those questions were, well, just pray about it. Just pray about it. So you felt like prayer was more of a dismissal of reality, of real questions. Or maybe you had an experience where you were praying for healing for yourself or healing for someone you love. Or maybe you were praying for some kind of breakthrough that there was an addiction or something that was in your life and you didn't want it anymore. And you kept praying and praying and praying, but it did not happen. And the feedback that you got from probably a well-meaningful person was you didn't have enough faith. You didn't have enough faith, which isn't even a measurable statement. It's not even measurable because Jesus said, have faith as small as a mustard seed and you can tell that mountain to move from here to there. See, you can have a mustard seed size of faith, but still be battling a mountain size of doubt, and your faith is bigger than that doubt in God's economy. So sometimes God heals because of faith, and sometimes God heals because of grace. And so you felt like maybe God didn't answer your prayer. It wasn't because of your lack of faith. It's just that we live in a world that there are still broken things that happen in our world. We live in an already and a not yet. Jesus came once and Jesus is to come again. And we're in the middle making things right now, which is the reason why our everyday lives are so important. We're not just one day going to get to heaven and everything's going to be fine. We are praying the prayer Jesus prayed. God, may your kingdom be on earth as it is in heaven. So your everyday, your comings and goings are ushering in the kingdom of God. See, the problem is we often view prayer like my daughter Kingsley views her Christmas wish list. And she's already writing it. Halloween hasn't even happened. See, prayer is not our wish list to God. And prayer is not an avoidance of real life problems. Prayer is our advantage as Jesus followers to connect to God in our everyday lives. Here's a simple definition of prayer. Prayer is talking to God. It's simple. I promise you I won't overcomplicate the gospel. It's not that complicated. It's talking to God. Now, I want to have some fun with us today. I'm going to break down this word pray that I got from a Bible app that I use called Lectio 365. I encourage you to download it. It's awesome. It's a prayer guide type thing. And they break down the word prayer, which I thought was so beautiful the way they broke it down. And this is what we're going to do today. So I'm going to take this word pray and we're going to break it down, okay? So here it comes. So when it comes to prayer, prayer helps us, here's the P, pause and be still. Prayer helps us pause and be still. This is everything the culture does not want for you. This is the opposite of the American dream. This is the opposite. Be still, pause and be still. We have Instagram. We got the Instapot, which is awesome. I used it for some chili I made yesterday. Delicious. We have instant mashed potatoes, and that's just wrong. That's just wrong. But in prayer, we are to pause and be still. Now, two kinds of prayer that I want to highlight. The first one is continual prayer. Continual prayer. The Apostle Paul speaks into this. The Apostle Paul talks about this in 1 Thessalonians. He says, rejoice always, which that's very hard to do, Paul. Rejoice always, even when that's happening. Rejoice always, and when you want to uppercut that person, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this part right here, it kind of hits me a little bit, because it's not a suggestion, it's not a maybe, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That one bothers me. That one bothers me, Paul. Paul tells us to pray without ceasing, meaning to pray all the time. Passion Translation puts it like this. Let joy be your continual feast. That sounds good. We're going to be doing 21 days of prayer and fasting in the beginning of the year. And my hope is we're going to do 21 days of prayer and feasting at the end of next year. Come on. It got a couple amens on that one. Let joy be your continual feast. Make your life a prayer. And in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus. Make your life a prayer. What Paul is inviting us into is a life that we daily, regularly are in communication with our Creator God. Because prayer is simply to God. When can we pray? Anytime, anywhere, about anything that's on your mind. We don't have to be in church. We don't have to use special words or put our hands together if you don't want to. God is listening. He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear your concerns. And the Bible encourages us to pray always about all kinds of topics. We can ask God for help. We can ask God to help us. We can ask God to help people we care for. We can talk to him about the things that we're worried about or in need of. We can also share what we're grateful about. And we can say sorry to God when we make a mistake. We can pray by talking or thinking or writing. And if you're a creative person and that ain't me, you can draw something. See, I actually want to encourage my creative people who play music or who draw or color, who do all this. You can use your creativity to connect to your Creator God. See, we can use our own words or borrow the words from someone else and make it in our own. Here's what we don't need. We don't need grand speeches. We don't need to pretend with God like everything is okay, because he knows the motives in your heart that you don't even want to express to him. All we need to do is keep it simple, keep it real, and keep it up. Keep it simple, keep it real, and keep it up. And it's in prayer that we can stop and pause. Now, you don't necessarily have to stop physically, but emotionally, mentally, spiritually, when you're about to react to something in a way that you know you shouldn't react to, prayer is the pause. Internally, God, help me not hit this person. When you feel that secondary emotion of anger starting to come up to you, and when you're about to lash out on your kids or your spouse, prayer is the pause. Prayer is the pause to hand it over to God in real time. In real time. Their prophet Elijah was trying to discern God's voice in a hard season of his life. Elijah was depressed. He didn't want to get out of bed. Anxiety was ruining his purpose. Maybe you've been there before. Maybe you've been there before. And again, I always want to encourage people, when you read the Bible, it's not full of a bunch of like superheroes or superhuman people. They're average, everyday, normal people who are trying to take one obedient step at a time to follow Jesus, which is what we are now too. 1 Kings 19 says this, "The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire." And this kind of makes me think of our lives. There's so much noise. So much stuff happening and going on. Things screaming for your attention. That addiction. That problem. Those people. That new show. And our lives can be consumed with noise. There's so much noise. But check out how God appeared to Elijah. And after the fire came, a gentle whisper. A gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloth over his face and went out and stood in the mouth of the cave. Then the voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" I love the question that God asks Elijah, "What are you doing here?" Prayer is a pause. And when we pause, it gives us the ability to hear from God and God to ask us the question, is this what you really want? Is this what you really think you need? Is this how you're really going to react? See, our world can be on fire, but our souls can be at peace. The things around us can be going the ways that we don't want them to go, but our soul can be steady. can be anchored to a hope that goes beyond circumstance. Pause and be still. The second prayer that I want to highlight is silence and solitude. Silence and solitude. Now, Jesus also invites us to pause and be still and physically break away. Jesus invites us. If Jesus felt the need that he had to physically break away from the noise of his life, then I think we should follow suit. I think we should do the same thing. Matthew 6:6, this is Jesus saying, he said, when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, and even that sees everything, that sees the things inside of you that you don't want to admit to other people. That can be kind of scary. But it's also comfort in knowing that God knows everything in me and still loves me. Still, he knows my false motives. He knows when I try to manipulate outcomes. He knows the shame that I feel, yet he embraces me. And not only does he embraces me, it says, and he will reward you. He will give you more and exceedingly and abundantly beyond. See, we can pray and even should pray throughout the day in our hearts, but we also must be intentional about spending daily time with God. Now, here's what I love about God. God is personal. God is personal. He's so personal, he knows you personally. God is so personal that he will use your current life circumstances to connect with you in a personal way. For example, if you have a teenager or a preteen who thinks they're a teenager or thinks they're 30, if you have a teenager who's not listening to you, God is probably nudging you a little bit like, yeah, that's how I feel about you sometimes too. If you're going back to school or starting a new career or kind of taking a new chapter in your life, God is teaching you Romans 5:3-5, which says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. God is actually trying to get you to build a character of hope and perseverance. If you have a bunch of little ones who are very dependent on your time, I don't think God is expecting you to give him an hour in your prayer closet. I don't think God is expecting you just to be like, oh, I'm praying in my closet. And then one of your kids run up to you, Mom, I think Billy is going to kill Jenny. Oh, you handle it. I'm praying. I don't think that's what's happening there, you know. I think God understands your circumstance. But that five-minute drive from drop-off to home, that's your pause and be still moment. That's your pause and be still. And that 5 minutes can be more grand than an hour with the Lord. Because God is not held on time. He's not restricted by time. He wants to see the condition of your heart. And he says, give it to me. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. See, this is something we all know. Oh, this is something we all know, and this what I'm about to say about to make us all mad. This is something that we all know. If you want something bad enough, you'll make a way to make it happen. If you want something bad enough, you'll make a way to get it. And when you start to get desperate, not just for the idea of God, but of knowing God, of being near God, of depending on God, you will make a way to find a way to surrender to God. You will make a way. See, here's a prayer that I regularly do. I regularly do, especially when I'm in times of feeling like distracted or there's so much stuff going on. And I encourage you. I encourage you to do this. Maybe once this week. Maybe 3 times. Here's what I do. I take a walk. I take a walk. This is rowdy what I'm about to say. I take a walk. With no AirPods. No music. Take a walk. And when I'm walking, I say to myself internally, I whisper it out loud. You don't need to be shouting this out loud in the middle of your neighborhood. People will be thinking you crazy. I walk and I just simply say, Father, give me eyes to see you. Father, give me eyes to see. And I'll take a walk. I'll take about a 10-minute walk, 15-minute walk. Father. And then here's the thing that happens. When you start to pray this prayer, the most random things pop in your head. You start thinking about the grocery list. You start thinking about someone you met when you were in second grade. The most random things that start popping in your head. And when those random things pop in your head, You say, Father, I give those things to you. Give me eyes to see you. Give me eyes to see you. See, when you start to intentionally spend time with God, when you try to silence the noise, you'll recognize how scary it is because the world is always throwing noise at us. See, when we read the Bible and read stories about how God speaks to people and God manifests in those ways, that's not like it just happened back then. God does it now. God speaks now. God will speak to you today. The problem is we got so many notifications going on our phones, we can't even hear the voice of God.